Hello, so this poem is called The Brown Line. A crown of leaves, a line of gold, a breath of brown, a line of red and yellow. Autumn is rich, young cold, painted pullover cheeks. Wool and red. A leaf falls, a man falls. A leaf is decomposed, a man is destroyed. The leaf is down there, the colors are melted. Grief, bombs, genocide. The colors of the autumn have the taste of blood. I was there in the space. I wasn't there in the time. Please take me a picture close to that tree. Please tell me how the children can dream in war. Milkshake with hot chocolate, please. Meat shake with hot bullets, please. I haven't seen the northern lights. I have tasted the smell of the rockets in the Holy Land. Cheers. Thank you.
Good, Margaret Antonio. We'll continue with Michelle Dilley.
Margaret Dilley. I wrote this recently for an opening event for it's called Green in Cities. It was new initiative developing green solutions for cities and urban design. But I because it was an international audience I was reading to, I have a lag in Gaeilge, comma, but tonight I'll read it more to welcome corrections and still read the Irish Urdus. An vilo gladdana nach leithar a hille. An dearthóir tá fágtar amach. An snáthe a bhíon inar gwinne, an trein laistis le réitigh a rithin gan stad. Déan dorn is ligdó blá a rís, géald an tennis is socrach le stig. Có rú an nithir le láidreach na méire, tóir carú le titimas a chéile. Ó méigin buintear an ceol an chéilí, scuiltear an bhac an a hinín. Cailtear an domhnas an domhan, trúlítear uisce thóir na hoann. Ní línta le tarraint ná green graph a go bháil, nóair suúgraíonn an alta ní leach an gluúiseach do fáil. Níl rud ar bith ar líon ó glas, níl aon rud ar bic an da, béidir go bhfuil an spectrum an data in óm a cabh amach. An struchtúr siide do bháin eile cuireann sé i gcuí na dom, an sneim sa bhola gleis, an sneim sa naimid freisin, nach bhfuil míad céirde go forfa ar bhathair le solás. Cé nó ar glacamid ar páirt ní bheidh sé le hiireacht ar léad, ní mar seol sé dúing, ní mar gnách. Nature. That cheat sheet we've forgotten how to read, the designer we've omitted from the team, that grain we tend to go against that freight train with solutions, don't your hands close and blossom as ease and tension rule you? Can't one hold earth in compression while the other helps to loosen? No one knows who drew the border between song and dance, son and daughter, city and habitat, rivers and fresh water. It must be that we photographed a shifting sky or murmuration, forcing lines upon them still, though they're only made of movement. Nothing's ever truly grey or green or without colour. It must be that you've read it from a spectrum on a poster. I forget if only for the spider's silken structure and the hardness of the knot in my stomach or the timber. That we are not made sublime for the sake of comfort, though when we play our part, it may not be with effort, at least not as we know it. Give me the mic.
Now, Michelle, to unjob the end, put in chin for a play that come out. Next up, we have Constantine.
The first poem is I wait. I wait for you in my nights. white nights, sleepless nights. I miss you so much. Together in a dim void, life is a shadow or a dream. Life goes by too fast. Like the morning dew, I disappear. In every point of the universe, I find myself. Abstract illusions. I remember myself as a child, lost driver. The first day of school, when I learned the first letter of the alphabet, I was overjoyed. Challenge. In the great confusion, each station is a stop. In the tumult of the waters, every man meets the challenge. The voice of love. When you look at me, violin sounds rise to the sky. The warmth of your hands, the butterfly of light, the voice of love. And the last poem is Second Coming. Somewhere far away, someone is praying. God is coming on earth.
Thank you very much, Constantine. Thank you, Gurmila Margaret. We're going to move online. Is Jeff Cottrell in the house?
Coming yes, from yes, he is. He's,
brilliant.
He's in, I'm in my house anyway. looking forward to seeing some or all of you in person next month. Yay! That was an easy day to get clapped. Okay, so I'll leave you with it. I'll leave you with this. This is called Safety Instructions. Congratulations on your purchase of the new Darwina 2024 microwave oven. Your Darwina microwave oven will provide first-rate microwave cookery for you and your family. For you. Please read the following safety instructions in order to maximize your continuing satisfaction with our product. Do not operate your Darwina microwave oven if the door cannot close properly or if it is bent in any way. Do not use if the hinges or latches are broken. Do not stand in front of the Darwina microwave oven for a long period of time, as this has been known to cause tumors. Do not leave an operating Darwina microwave oven unattended. Do not use a brown paper. Put your face or any other body part inside your Darwina microwave oven while it is operating. Do not bring your Darwina microwave oven into the shower or bathtub with you. Do not lift your Darwina microwave oven in the air and strike it upon your head repeatedly. This has been known to cause injury. Do not stand under a falling Darwina microwave oven after it has been dropped from a tall building. Do not place your Darwina microwave oven in a catapult and then have someone release the cap. It'd be rather dangerous. Do not use your Darwina microwave oven as an ear-piercing tool or for home dentistry. Do not play catch with your Darwina microwave oven. Do not attempt to fit your Darwina microwave oven fully into your mouth or any other bodily orifice. Please do not fill your Darwina microwave oven with explosives and then detonate them while you are within 1 meter of the oven and eating a deli stick. Do not hold your Darwina microwave oven while jumping off a high cliff and trying to fly. Do not hold your Darwina microwave oven while running into an operating airplane propeller. Do not use your Darwina microwave oven to help jam scissors into your crotch. Do not walk with your Darwina microwave oven late at night on random side streets in downtown Detroit. Do not attempt to tweak the nose of a wild grizzly bear while in the vicinity of your Darwina microwave oven. Do not use your Darwina microwave oven as a masturbatory aid. This is not necessarily dangerous, but it is a little weird. Do not attempt to operate your Darwina microwave oven while tied to a railroad track, dangling from a skyscraper, running through enemy fire across the battlefield, sticking your head out the window of a moving vehicle, playing Russian roulette, waving raw meat in front of a charging bull, diving into an empty swimming pool, eating Drano, drinking arsenic, horsing around in a room full of industrial machinery, or smoking. Do not attempt to operate your Darwina microwave oven while pulling the trigger of a pistol, only to find that the pistol appears to be out of bullets, and then, out of puzzlement and curiosity, peering down the barrel of said pistol while pulling the trigger again. Thank you for taking the time to read the safety instructions for your new Darwina 2024 microwave oven. Every one of these safety instructions was created as a result of numerous tests involving a multitude of live, human, and animal subjects, and many of whom were orphans, kittens, and adorable doe-eyed little bunnies. That was safety instructions. All right. Have a good one.
Gurmina Mahagut, Jeff. Thanks a million. Roisin is here. Roisin Leggett Bohan up next.
Thanks everyone for your poems this evening and for all the Danta Ascailga. I really enjoyed them, Gurb Mahagut, and I learned a little bit this evening as well. Thank you for that. I wrote a little poem about my mother. She's been losing a lot of things recently, most namely her memory. But she never forgot to give presents. She's a very kind person, very generous person. And the best gift she's given me these days is the gift of remembering the present moment. The first line the title of the poem is the first line of the poem. I lose my mother in the card shop of Wilton Shopping Centre. I leave her, ask her not to budge, while I run to the post office. She never forgot birthdays, anniversaries, another present. 2 Minecraft t-shirts, 1 Zelda key ring, 3 packs of Pokemon cards. I said 5 minutes, but take 9 because my mother has a sweet tooth and loves lemon meringue pies, and their egg white swirls look extra puffy at the cake shop. Slices of my heart climb into my ears, popping like sparklers. I scan the card rows, get well soon with sympathy. Sorry you're leaving. She is gone. And then I remember letting go of her hand when I was 6. She was busy chattering to the man in the butcher shop, now a GameStop. When my eyes fell in love with the red guitar in the window of the toy shop, now an e-cig shop, gold lightning bolts bursting across its frame. Her face when she found me, eyes wet cross and cry laughing, kneeling and squeezing, saying, "Don't ever run off on me." I race through the aisles to the exit, stopping at each shop on my left, on my right, 11 shops and 2 cafes. There she is, leaning on her walker, reaching out to touch the fabric of a lacy summer dress. I stand at the shop door, watch her cup the hem, examine the slip, roll her thumb over the pearl-like buttons. Unhooking the dress from the hanger, she turns and spots me, flashes her high cheekbones. "Ah, there you are. I found you, the perfect present."
Wow. Absolutely gorgeous, Gurmila Mahagut Roisin. Wow. Like Bugger Aig, Phil Spillane, call it too.
Thank you. Back on the high right now at the moment, but at a really steep low in the middle of last week, and I had a breakdown in the middle of work, and my colleague told me to go home. Work could be there tomorrow. Go home. He said he was right. Thank God, just the two of us, 2 IT crowd. We're definitely the IT crowd. So yeah, I was able just to go home and try to buy new shoes and try and collect myself. There's a weird high in it, but it's just a weird time. But I'm alright. At least I got art and poetry, and that's saving my life. So there's that, and it is saving my life. This is my strength on beach sand, looking at a covering of cinder stars against a shroud. Space breathes. Night sky flickers and is deep. Old roads go back to me somehow, especially this dead one shadowed in an absence of streetlight. And the pure shore to the starry sky, the edge of nothing, ocean constantly exhaling and calling out. If I get up from the sand, will I drop up? Oh, three wise, we all go down, down, down and clash land. Whatever way, I am strong. I'm made of wet sand. Thanks for listening.
Gurmila Mogget, Phil. Out of darkness can come something very beautiful. Gurmila Mogget.
Thanks very much.
Next up is your neighbour, Cedric.
So, this one, I initially wrote it in French, réussite. So translated, it's success, and it was inspired by a song that I was listening to, rapper who was basically making quite a bit of noise in the hip hop verses that were very good and that I just decided to write on. You know the drill. Réussite. On attend de toi une attitude qui correspond à la latitude. C'est par ça qu'on te donne de l'altitude. Puis on te vomit quand t'as pas l'altitude de la latitude. Alors que ça ne vient qu'avec la culture, au-delà de l'habitude. On s'en fout de ta détresse, on te redresse. On te police, on te polie. Comme si on t'avait trouvé avec la vie trouée. Donc, t'avales ton ego. La crème de la crème, on le devient avec l'habitude de la vitrude. Mais ne t'y trompe pas. Ton temps est compté. Parce que l'habitude, quand t'es bien vêtu, n'est pas bien né. Success. Expected from you is a light that matches the height. It will dictate the height of your flight. Then you are chewed out when you don't exhibit the might and stature only gained from culture. There is no care if you are distressed. You are a thing to be redressed. Polished, polished into a new life after being discarded. Swallow your pride with large gulps. The cream of the crop is shrewd, from the people askewed. Taught from being screwed. But make no mistakes, your time is scarce and borrowed. If looks kill, you will die early from being well dressed, but on the wrong side of the road.
Anywhere? Let's roll down. Cool. Patricia Walsh. Thank you. Just one doesn't have a title. I just go anyway. This is a clean affair. Coughing up your lungs. Leading to tar and other chemicals. Closing time, relax the sprightly gate. Home closing in on heartless comforts. Form falling function, licks out supreme. So many vacant seats, so little time. Mere loneliness is loose upon the world. Laying aside anger for more apposite time. Heartfelt rejection needing no excuse. Heating debates where none existed. Your curtain birth offspring, a singular mess. Not be had around the sake of peace. Samey efforts dotting the same scripts. Stretch over 3 days, a spyware joy. A detective privately mulling massacre. A vacant satisfaction comes forth shining. God alone knows what the story is, foregone. Marriage of fake minds, upset impediments, burning on their own importance, an aortic mix, spilled on the cafe floor in plain sight. Busting guts to keep the family sweet, coming to naught, even in the crowded church, glassing oneself to remind why you stop caring, heartily feasting on various innards, nicely association with deserving kinds. Conscientiously forgotten, a cheap gimcrack, the nutty associated wanted by no one. Karma cheated by one fell swoop. Checking on an awful life, subtly permitting, allowing for insanity over one's own life. Liberated to be depressed,
take fort on grave. Guts and plain sighs harried by the crows. Drinking in silence, harder case allowing. Relaxing satiety, a singular joke. Classic rot being the new tobacco. Thank you.
Lord Margaret, Patricia. Next up, we have Roxanne.
So that's in French, because I didn't have anything recent. And that's something that I wrote around 4 years ago, this time, when I discovered for the first time the Mardaic woke. And it's called Narnia, because it was an evening like this with fog, and I walked to the Mardaic woke, and there was this lamp, and it looked like Narnia, exactly when she comes into the... So it's supposed to be a discussion, an imaginary discussion, but I'll just read you the more explanatory, like, monologue part. Il y avait du feu en moi, ce besoin d'évasion, les neurones anéantis par une discussion en trois langues. Rajoutons le poids d'une météo qui nous enveloppait tous d'une torpeur humide sous un ciel d'un ton de cendre et prêt à exploser. Personne ne m'attendait. Pourquoi rentrer si tôt? Les murs m'ont gardé trop longtemps. Je me suis promis d'aller explorer davantage. Donc, la rivière m'a appelé. En fait, c'est simple de découvrir. Il suffit de prendre sur soi, de sortir de son brouillard, d'accepter de faire confiance pour en sortir d'abord, de ne pas se poser de questions sur la direction. La musique a repris le dessus, toujours les mêmes airs. La mémoire est sélective. Un panneau propriété privée décourage les promeneurs. Une barrière, un portail à l'arche de pierre stricte. Tant pis, je passe mon chemin. Un pont aux couleurs exotiques. Je regarde ces arbres qui se dressent et puis soudain, une silhouette apparaît et disparaît. Mais alors, c'est accessible. Retour sur mes pas, je rentre dans un monde de silence. Le chemin n'est pas viable pour les véhicules à moteur. Ici sont rois, marcheurs, joggeurs, cyclistes, chiens et oiseaux. La rivière règne, elle prend vie, elle s'échappe de la ville, devient moins profonde. Troque les quais contre des berges, elle joue à cache-cache. Les arbres sont denses et c'est avec eux qu'elle danse parce qu'elle sait que dans l'autre sens, le courant l'emportera beaucoup trop loin. Moi, j'avance doucement, souriant à ces gens que je croise. La pénombre s'installe, le jour peine à traverser le feuillage. Quand tout à coup, un halo orangé se laisse apercevoir. Il est fourbe lui aussi. Enlacé dans le berceau des branches qui l'entourent, il ne cherche pas à être un repère. D'ailleurs, au fur et à mesure de ma progression, ses frères ne sont pas tous allumés. Je pense qu'ils savent que c'est peine perdue. Mais ceux qui le sont deviennent un clin d'œil rappelant qu'ici, la nature nous protège temporairement du monde. Alors, au diable l'heure, je continue. Nous verrons au retour quelles nouvelles ampoules décoreront mes pieds. Et là, la revoilà. Elle a retrouvé sa fougue. Il suffit d'un glissement de niveau, de quelques rochers, pour qu'elle prenne son élan, rugisse. Elle dompte ceux qui essayent de l'arrêter, insaisissable et fuyante. Thank you.
Gurmila Margaret Roxanne. Next up, we have the fabulously talented Alexandra Toth from Home Park.
So the poem that I'm about to read may be a sensitive topic to those who have or ever had pets or may have experienced the loss of a pet. So last week, me and my parents found out from my grandma that our dog, well, she wasn't technically our dog, but she was my grandma's dog. And we've seen her throughout the years, every single summer, whenever we went to Hungary. And we were the ones that got her as a puppy from my grandma. So it was a bit of a sad loss for all of us. There were a lot of tears at it, but I don't know, I took it in a way that I straight away started writing a poem. That's kind of the way that I took it after bawling and crying. But this is the poem about the female dog and her now son who was left alone, basically. So this poem is called The Circle of Life. My beautiful angel, I watched you throughout the years, growing from a little pup into a beauty. Your presence was a blessing to my grandmother. You were her friend, the one who eased her loneliness. To that, I am grateful. You are a family whenever we came to visit our homeland. You remembered us, never forgot our smell nor our touch. I watched you become a mother, the protector of a little snowball. You are so young, but you were a blessing of a mother. You raised him to be strong and kind. He turned out to be all that and much more. His emotional intelligence was beyond predictable. He outgrew you by far, now becoming the protector of both you and my grandma. But your time amongst the living fauna came to an end, becoming one with the earth again, the circle of life. Fly high, my angel, and guide me with the light of your paws. For you will be missed by us all, remembered through memories and the miracle of photographs. But your boy, he lost a mother, a protector, a friend. A joyful snowball, now weeping in nightly howls, calling out to his mother, his lifelong companion. How will he live without her? With the mother who was by his side from the moment of his first breath to the moment of her last breath. Will he still be there when we come back to our homeland? Or will he fall from sorrow and drown in his cries and tears?
I mean, Margaret Alexandra, Jesus, I'm not well after that. Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. I know you did, thank you. Next up is Sue Blue.
Thanks very much. Thanks for everybody's poem stuff. So I dug out an older piece, which is actually a 5-word poem from, well, it kind of fits the season, the feel of the poem does. So I'm not going to tell you the 5 words. You can figure them out. Haunting. The moon hung low in the sky like a grapefruit, and the elders hung heavy with berries black. The day had been burning us, haunting with heat, and the wine rose red to our heads now. Dark blue the sky grew as the moon rose higher over the silhouette trees, casting silver shadows. When an eldritch scream flew across the quiet land, from the ruins by the river, piercing our peace. Chills ran swirling down the helix of our spines, consumed by the ghost of the heavy sweet wine. Something squealed like a pig in the shadows of night, forced into the abattoir, shoehorned to its fate, and haunted by the elder moon with the fever of sunstroke. Our dizzy minds could not help but follow the eerie call.
For Emile Margaret, we're going to jump on 9 to Massimo. He's ready to go. Good.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Excuse me. Dreams, although I'm always interrupted. Things happen out of sequence, but always in conjunction. I decipher my dreams with what my waking eyes have seen. With no interpretation from a book of feel, I'm still real and still choose. I may fly, I may fall, or accept or refuse. With the power to fight, the power to run, to win, and to lose. Sometimes I wonder if my dreams come as messages. The less intercepting signals, the better the reception is. Or maybe it's not just the reception, but receptiveness. To unpack the long day a long life has left me with. I wake in a cold sweat from fears I don't recollect. But when I cross over between worlds, I'm still perplexed. As I recall the world I've left, I wake up to the world that's next. So I raise my head up from the pillows where I slept and shake off. I face the day with leaps and bounds, small steps and deep breaths until it's time to rest again in peace, then resurrect. They say the afterlife is 1,000 years of dreams. But who can say in sleep time how long 1,000 years that seem like 9 lifetimes? In one lifetime, I couldn't dream in endless night times. They say in this world, I must believe in what I see. But when my eyes are closed and I am awake, I seem to only want what I can see. But in my dreams, what I want is what I try to be. When awake, having faith is believing and not seeing. But when I dream, what I believe in is my state of being. That doesn't mean that life's a dream and I should keep on sleeping. State of dreaming. I may never die in my dreams, but I'm always interrupted. Things happen out of sequence, but always in conjunction. Beautiful or comforting. But without the dreamer being real, they are nothing. Peace. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Massimo. Moving on, we have...
Thanks so much. I plan to say something else entirely, but I'm still shook by Alexandra's poem. As someone who has grieved the death of my dog since the moment he arrived into my hands as a pup, and he's 10 now, so he's still hopefully has some years left in him. But one thing that gives me solace is the mythology of South America, where in their mythology of the land of the dead, one of the first steps is to go through the land of the dogs, which is there's this great big river separating you from the land of the dead. And the only way you're getting across is with a dog guide. So a dog that you have loved in life or have shown kindness to, and they're going to be the ones who step you on your journey to the land of the dead. So it's just it's so lovely, isn't it? Yeah, we're just... Yeah, but on to the poem. Ode to teachers, but really it's an ode to, you know, all those people who you have maybe brief interactions with who like epically affect your life and you're thinking of them years later and they don't know about it. And I'm sure all of you are that person for somebody else. So this poem is really for you. To Mrs. Brown, my fifth year biology teacher. Actually, don't know if her name is Mrs. Brown. I can't remember her name, but we'll call her Mrs. Brown. I still remember how you would burst into a drowsy classroom with mud on your boots and hands full of ferns so fresh they dripped spiders in dew. You told us to trace our fingertips along the sporangium underneath a leaf and explained how each tiny spore would sail on rain and find its own way to new soil, where it would grow strong despite the struggle. Even the girls who smacked chewing gum, wore makeup, and rolled their skirts into belts listened when you demonstrated how to hold the scalpel and carefully slice through the layers of cilia, choroid, nerves, and ligaments into the thick jelly of a cow's eye, explaining that vision occurs in the brain, whereas the eye is an organ of innocent parts, incapable of casting judgment. You were my teacher for a single year before Mom moved me to a new school. I swapped my uniform for jeans, traded the sneers of girls I'd known since Montessori from the empty smiles of almost women and an ache for oblivious teenage boys. Just 1 year, but still, whenever I study, I see mud splatters and dewdrops on the page, the structure of the eye, the life cycle of the fern. Thank you.
Grimalgut. Grimalgut, Lauren. Next up, we have Ciarán McCartan.
Grimalgut, Lauren. The empty room. I only wish to speak when the room is empty, so that I'll have a direct line to the thought police and say, hello, thought police, here are my thoughts today. Could you verify them for me? Channel the multidimensional swirl of colour and noise, the playing field, negotiation table, kitchen, temple, study. Could you gently caress my thoughts and passions, alter their direction to make them servants to your cause? Such is my faith in your teachings and ambitions, that I can think of no greater course of action, no more noble path than to surrender my instincts for navigation to your grand design. I only wish to speak when the room is empty, and if the room isn't empty, I'll take my empty room for a walk, bring it on the bus with me, and examine its paintwork. Manage the detail of my assigned corner so that it appears to be a platform. I'll arrange the stage with style. Orate in the way of the conscious and awake, free of thought and purpose, while willfully unconscious. I will give to you my consciousness for a free pass into the realm of the righteous. I will liberate myself from the responsibility to discern righteousness from the many other paths that can collectively be referred to as the wrong. I will hope only for praise, shallow stimulation, and a massage for my ego. I will entrust you to decipher for me the difference between underweight and overweight, the funny and the unwanted, the safe from the unsafe, the amicable from the contrary, the terrorist from the freedom fighter, war from genocide. I will give this power to you because I trust you and it is easy. I only wish to speak when the room is empty, for in an empty room, nobody can hear me come to terms with the slow dripping reality that this may be all that it ever is. That if I don't give these thoughts to you, they'll just bounce around my head and remind me of the apology I ought to have made but didn't. The responsibility that was mine to shoulder, that I buried beneath a light pile of tobacco, rolled up and smoked away, will make me revisit that which I swore never again to touch, and bring me face to face with the cold Tuesday morning reality of my existence and demand answers of to questions of self-worth and satisfaction, and force me to acknowledge that even though I don't trust you, I would much rather pretend to than admit that I trust you more than me. Thank you.
Kieran. Next up, we have another Kieran, Kieran Shanahan.
Yeah. Thanks. I haven't performed in a while without a bag over my head and screaming, but I'll get back into poetry. So this is called The Bread Grows Mold. And the bread grows mold where the eyes can't see. Can I be critical when I fall or just sit in the silence? And the bread grows mold where the eyes can't see. Can I be sad and cry and shy away? And the bread grows mold where the eyes can't see. Can I fall so far that you hate me and that you lost faith in me? Don't deserve to be that butter anymore. And the bed grows mold where the eyes can't see. Scratch away at the epiphany. It in return scratches my soul. Bones have crumbled beneath me. Lost, bespoken. Yet have I misspoken. For the bread grows mold where the eyes can't see. Thank you.
Our penultimate poet this evening is Seamus Harrington. Mm-hmm. Quite well, Seamus.
Thanks, Julie. Hard to believe I wrecked another computer. Yeah. The people with Apple Macs can smile. Free downloads. They have altered my application, activated my archives, booted my browser, buried my broadband, bookmarked my bits, connected my console, captured my cartridge, clicked on my cookies, commandeered my cursor, dropped down my devices, delved in my downloads, documented my data, dragged out my driver, displayed my desktop, crashed, erased my errata, encrypted my emails, fancied my favorites, fumbled my floppy. What? Fragmented my fonts, firewalled my folders, gorged on my gigabytes, grouped up my game ports, hijacked my hardware, hacked at my hyperlink, hung out my homepage, hosted my hard drive, inserted my icon, interrupted my intranet, jellied my Java, jumpered my jack plug, keystroked my kernel, kneaded my knickknacks, logged on my laptop, labeled my language, massaged my poor mouse, merged with my modem, minimized my monitor, muddled my memory, memorized my moniker, negated my network, networked my nonsense, opened my outputs, outsourced my options, plagiarized my process, programmed my printer, punctured my pop-ups, partitioned my password, queried my QWERTY, questioned my query, quoted my quandary, raided my right-click, recycled my registry, selected my software, sampled my startup, serviced my smart drive, scheduled my scanner, sentenced my shortcuts, trespassed my trackball, trojaned my toolbar, uncovered my uploads, underlined my undo, violated my version, vetoed my vectors, vented my volumes, wormed my window, winkled my wizard, X-rated my excerpts, yawned at my yarns, zeroed my zip drive. Thank you.
I'm done, Seamus. For me and Margaret. So we're going to welcome up Rab, who's our last poet on the open mic.
So it was back in 2009, I was on the bus down from Belfast, and the bus stopped at this flyover. There was a guard the car there, and the guards got on the bus, you know, the bus driver stopped and they opened the doors in the car. And it was interesting, like, you know, they didn't even look at me, because I'm a white guy. They went to everybody who was brown. Have you got passports? You know, this is what they were doing, it's like grand job. So anyway, we got into Dublin, and it's all Ireland night in Dublin town. There's no train, there's no bus. So I got to wait around, sitting on the steps at Connolly Street Garda station. Are you homeless? No, I'm waiting for a bus. Are you homeless? I asked the man, with shoes but no socks. And he says, homeless, yeah, they spiked my drink. When I woke up the next day, I didn't know what to think. They took my cash and my passport, doing the fuck if I know what I'm going to do. I gave him a fag. And the glowing red coal seems to warm his soul. Now he sleeps on pavement hard concrete with the native blanket for pillow and sheet.
Good morning, Amanda, Rob. A huge thank you to everyone who took part in the five-word challenge. It was spectacular. Gurmila Mahagavarish, can we give a whoop-whoop for Kieran E. August Maureen Green, Gurmila Mahagavarish.